In our diocese, we've been praying our vocation prayer for quite a while. It was Bishop Schnur who wrote the current one. And we pray it before every Mass here in our parish. I think most parishes pray it at some point during the Mass, whether it's after the prayers of the faithful or at the end of Mass or sometime. It begins, Almighty Father, we beg you for an increase in religious vocations and holy marriages. In a real way, we're asking for the Lord to raise up vocations from our midst. A vocation is a particular way, a particular life that we're called to follow God by. And we're called to follow God, and we're called to be saints. All of us are called to be saints. We all come from families, and that's why I think it's great that there's that line that we pray later in the prayer. It says, choose from our homes those who are needed for your work, and help us with the courage to say yes and to follow you. To live a vocation is to say yes to God. I think that's obvious, to say yes to whatever he calls us to, whether it's marriage, religious life, priesthood, or consecrated life. We need all the vocations in order to have a healthy church. There's no question that strong, faithful families lead to more vocations. These vocations are strong because they are rooted in Christ and his bride, the church. Because of this rootedness, they can more fully respond, I think, and more easily respond to the call. Isaiah's image in our first reading today of the mother who nurses her child, caring for them, comforting them. This is the image that represents Mother Church. When a child is raised by such a mother, they have an abundance and they can flourish. This is the seedbed where all the vocations come from, Mother Church. In our current time in history, we seem to focus a lot on the shortage of priests. We talk a lot about how we don't have enough. Part of why our parishes are closing or merging or being reclustered is because we don't have enough priests to staff all of them. That's true. We certainly do need priests. But actually, the shortage of priests is, I think, it's simply a symptom of the fact that there is literally a shortage of people choosing any of the vocations. People aren't always choosing to get married in the church, and even when they do, they don't always intend to live faithfully the Catholic life. The number of men and women considering religious life is way down too, given that that all the vocations are suffering. It should be no surprise then that we don't have maybe as many priests as we'd like. There are many places where people lament this lack of vocations. They're saying, what can we do? This is bad. Look at how terrible it is. Our parishes are closing. But I think until we ask the question of why there's a lack of vocations, and how can we change? We are just going to be not seeing any change. It's going to continue down that path. One of the retired priests in our diocese used to say this. I think he was a vocation director for a while. He used to say this. We should have one weekend a year where all the priests go back to their home parish. And they say Mass there. If you don't have a priest in your parish, then you have to go somewhere else that weekend. And he thought that was a great idea. I don't think that's going to happen, but it is a good, gives you a good thought, right? Well, interesting. It fosters, if we can't foster one priest vocation out of our parish every 30 years, well, what's wrong? What's going on? And if that's the case, what about the other vocations of our parish? Are there other vocations that are lacking too? In other words, are there many people from our parishes choosing to live holy marriage, consecrated life, religious life? What's the fruit of our parish? To my knowledge, and I don't profess to be an expert on this, but to my knowledge, we haven't had a priest come from our parishes, but hopefully that will soon change. No pressure, Phil, but you'd be the first homegrown priest from our parish. So, in some 300 years of combined parishes existence, we haven't had any priestly vocations. That's a long time. It's a long dry spell. So hopefully that will soon end. I think it's critical that we are praying for vocations for our parishes and that we are doing everything that we can to raise up vocations from our midst. And forget about a new church for a moment. If we don't nourish vocations from our parishes, if we don't do that, then we really don't need a new church, right? It's going to end, right? So we need to foster vocations. And if we don't do that, then we're going to see the consequences pretty quickly. So we need holy marriages, we need more priests, of course, we need religious, we need consecrated, we need all people striving to live holy lives, we need all these things. And if we don't have that, then it's not going to last very long. And holy, these vocations don't come from a void. They come from the midst of the church that nourishes and brings these vocations forth from that community of the body of Christ. And it's our responsibility to be open to that call, to teach our children to be open by our example, by our witness, by our prayers. We need to be showing them how to be open too. What does it look like to encourage and foster vocations? That's part of the prayer. One of the things I noticed that when I was in seminary, about a third of the guys that I studied with, a third of them, probably, give or take, were there against the will of their parents. Their parents didn't want them to be in the seminary. They thought that was a waste, that why are you doing this with your life? You shouldn't do that. And I would probably think it would be very similar to, maybe even more so, for girls who go into religious life. You know, why are you doing that? What good is that for you to go off and do that? So sometimes there's that opposition, and we aren't, on the one hand we're saying, we want more priests, we want more nuns, we want more religious, we want more people who are living holy marriages, and yet are we encouraging them to do that? Are we willing for our family members, our children, our loved ones to become those vocations? Are we encouraging them to look into that, helping them to be open to that? Do we foster holy marriage? Do we allow our children to understand the gift of the sacrament of marriage? Do they see and witness a lived sacramental life in the home? Any vocation can be lived in such a way that it is attractive to others. Hopefully that's what they see. But likewise, any vocation can also be lived in a way that people look at it and say, I don't want to live that way. Father, you're not inspiring. So we got to be careful. Like, we got to strive to be open to God's grace working in us and through us, and live out our vocations with joy. I think one of the best things that we can do to support vocations, whatever life we're living, is to live it joyfully, to live it with fidelity, recognizing this is my divine call. This is the way that God has given me for my path to holiness and fulfillment. Jesus sent out the 72 disciples today to proclaim the kingdom of God. He tells them not to bring money bags or sacks or sandals. Interesting. Jesus often calls us to live our vocations in a way that doesn't, you know, I don't know if this is enough, Lord. I don't know if I have enough tools here to do what you're asking. We might feel like we don't have enough money to do what's needed. Sometimes we might even feel we don't have the very basics. No sandals? Come on, Lord. Can I have some sandals, please? Barefoot? Difficult, right? Sometimes we're challenged in the call that God gives to us. And this is a reminder to us that it's never about a matter of having the right equipment or the right resources. These can certainly help, and they do help, and if we need them, God will provide them, right? Rather, it's if Jesus is calling us to respond, to say yes, then nothing will be impossible according to God's plan. We are meant to proclaim the kingdom of God. For anyone who follows Jesus, at the end of the day, we won't be assessed by how many possessions we have, or what salary we made, or how many children we put through college, or any of these earthly measuring sticks. Instead, the question is, did we proclaim the kingdom of God by the way we lived our lives? Was it evident to those around us that we were following Jesus? We don't even have to be successful to accomplish Jesus' call. He tells the 72 up front, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Thank you, Lord. That sounds great. Oh, wonderful. So if the courts turn against us, if the laws turn against us, if we are persecuted, we shouldn't be surprised. It shouldn't be a big bummer to us. We should kind of say, okay, it seems like it's going according to plan here. If we proclaim God's kingdom, those who observe and hear the message will be converted. They will hear it. And it will be up to them, and they will be held accountable for the message that they receive. Now, we don't have to manage how people hear the message of the gospel. We just have to proclaim it in such a way that is very faithful, and a very faithful expression of Jesus' teaching and life. A gospel that is distorted or partial or selective, something like the prosperity gospel, for instance, anything other than the fidelity to Jesus, what he actually taught, and what he actually invites us to, that's going to lack the real power of the gospel, the good news. Because that comes from God. If we go our own path and try to say, hey, do this other thing that's sort of the gospel, it's not going to have any power. So I think sometimes, many times, we can make other things our gospel, right? The good news of what? You know, the big four things that Bishop Barron always talks about, that all the other struggles stem from our pleasure, power, honor, and wealth. And I would say in our day, maybe one other thing that you might throw in there for our young people would be sports, right? We can really be taken over by sports. They can become something that consume us. All these things are good when used rightly. They're all good things. When we make them the center of our lives, though, and we no longer pursue our vocation, that's a recipe for disaster, a short road to an unhappy life. The Lord sent out the 72 disciples with a specific call to proclaim the kingdom of God. And he sent them, and he prayed, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send laborers for his harvest." Let's remember that we are all meant to labor for this harvest. And we're meant to reap that harvest too. Some of us will be more of the sowing, some of us hopefully will be more of the reaping, but we're all called to be in that. What are we doing to support vocations in our parishes, in our families, and in our community? Today's gospel is a clear reminder to us that the Lord wants to work through us to help bring the kingdom of God, to bring people to know him, to know his body, the church. Are we doing our part? Do we live our vocation? Are we open to supporting and raising up vocations from our midst? We will know them by their fruits we hear. What is the fruit that we are seeing? Almighty Father, we beg you for an increase in religious vocations and holy marriages in our diocese. Help us to be generous in our response to your call. Choose from our homes those who are needed for your work, and strengthen us with the courage to say yes and to follow you. Help us as a diocese, as a parish, as families, to encourage and foster vocations to the priesthood, permanent diaconate, and consecrated life. We commend our prayers to you, our patroness, Mary, Queen of the Rosary, and ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord.